if I were to use the phrase in the zone, most people would know what I'm talking about, correct? Amen? Yes? Yes? Several years ago, I used to play church league basketball. Now, I'll pause real quick because anytime I mention this, there's some guys that want to get together and have a church basketball team or a church softball team, and the answer is no. And here's why. We would win all the games, but we would get locked up for the fight that we caused during the game. And we don't have enough money to get you out of jail because we aren't given at that level yet, okay? We don't have enough bail money. But I played for a church basketball team. If you've ever played church basketball, it's interesting. Now, I'm not a good basketball player. I've never been a great basketball player. I'm 6'6", and people are like, well, that height, why didn't you play basketball? And I'm like, well, I just lacked one thing, talent. If I would have had talent, I would have been amazing. But there was this one game. There was this one game, and I remember it well because it was the only time it ever happened. There was one game. The team I was playing for, we were all horrible, and we were down by 20, and there's like 2 minutes left, and I wound up with the ball at the right behind the three-point line. Now, three-point shots, I hit about for every 1,000, I'll hit two. I mean, that's how good, I'm consistent at least. And so I got the ball. We're down by 20. The guy guarding me backs off and goes, take it. If you're a man in that moment, what do you do? You have to what? You have to take it, right? And so I did. And my form, I guess, was just good, and I kind of and like that. And it was one of the sweetest, nothing but net. And I was like, huh. I was shocked. I didn't say anything. I just ran down the court. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands. So we stole the ball. I wound up in the same spot, same guy guarding me, and he goes, you can't do it again. Well, I mean, okay. You're probably right. But let's see. Kaboom, nothing but net. This time when I went back down the court, I kind of had a little swag. Like I meant to do it. They missed the shot. We got the ball. I wound up on the other side. I'm behind the three-point line. Same guy guarding me. He said, you can't hit three in a row. What am I supposed to do? So I took the shot from the other side, nothing but net. And at this point, I said something about his mother. Forgiven. We're down by 11 now. I go to the other side. We get the ball. They give it to me at the three-point line again. This guy, I go like this. He jumps to block it. I go around him and go in and lay up. It's the sweetest layup. Now, somebody goes, why didn't you dunk? Because I'm white. Didn't y'all see the movie White Man Can't Jump? So we still lost the game, but I never will forget. That's the one game I can remember. And the reason I can say that was the one game, the next game that we played, I couldn't have thrown the ball in the ocean if I was standing on a pier. I was missing everything. It was bad. But you know what it's like to be in the zone. And so maybe you play tennis or maybe you play softball or baseball. You know what it's like to be in the zone, like in marriage? Aren't there days where you just feel like you're getting it right? Like, you put the dishes in the dishwasher and she didn't have to restack them. That's a good day, amen? You're in the zone. You're in the zone. You're sending each other sweet little texts. I love you. I love you more. I love you, boo. I love you, sweetheart. There's days when you're in the zone with your kids, like your kids just get it right. Did you do your homework? Yes. Let me see it. Oh my gosh, you did your homework. This is the best day ever. You're in the zone. And there's days that we are in the zone in our relationship with Jesus. Aren't there there are days when you pray for something and it just happens. There are days that you just get blessed. There are days where it just seems so easy to show up at church and smile and give somebody a hug. And then there's days when you're not in the zone. There are days, I wish I could tell you that every day with Jesus, I heard that song years ago, every day with Jesus just gets sweeter and sweeter, and I'm like, no, it don't. There's some days it's hard to follow Jesus. Can I make a confession? There's some days, I'm just going to tell you, it'd be easier to just not be a Christian. There are some days, would it just be easier to compromise? There are some days it's not easy to show up at church. There are some days when we're singing a song, it's not easy to raise your hands. In fact, there are some days in our walk with Jesus where we're just not in the zone. And if we do bring a hallelujah, and the word hallelujah means literally praise the Lord, if we do bring it, if we're able to get one, if we're able to say praise the Lord or thank you, Jesus, we had to fight to get that out of us. But this is the main idea I want to teach today. I told you God gave me two Easter sermons, so this is my second one. I preached my first one last week. This is my second one. This is the main idea today. I can bring a hard-fought hallelujah not because I am fighting to hold on to Jesus. Now, let me explain this before I finish the sentence. Because a lot of people will tell you, well, when you're not in the zone with Jesus, when you're not feeling it, when it's not just coming naturally, do more, try harder. Read your Bible more, pray more, sing more. And I'm not saying that doesn't work, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we do more and we feel worse. Can I be honest today? Sometimes we do more and we're like, yeah, that's not working either. So what's going on? Pastor Pete, what's going on? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I dot the I's, cross the T's, and I'm not feeling it. Well, it's because I can bring a hard fought hallelujah, not because I am fighting to hold on to Jesus, but because Jesus is fighting to hold on to me. If we're honest for just a second, and we look back over the course of our lives, during the times where we weren't even a Christian or a Christ follower, or we didn't even care about God, Jesus, church, religion, or anything, we can still see the fingerprints of God all over our lives. And your whole life, and maybe you're here today, you're in this room, you're in Columbia, you're watching online, and you believe God has given up on you, and isn't it funny that you're listening to a guy tell you that he's actually not fighting you, he's fighting for you. Now, some people go, I think God's fighting me. No, you'd feel it. You'd be bruised up. You wouldn't even be here today, okay? God is fighting for you. So in order to kind of help us wrap our mind around this, if you go through what I call is a tough season, I'm going to give you four prayers that you can pray today on your outline. And hopefully you'll take this outline with you and put it somewhere where you can see it. Because these are not prayers that I'm teaching you. These are prayers that come out of my personal life that have helped me, that are helping me. These are things that I actively pray, and I know they work. And they're not very long, and they're not super deep. If you know me, it's not super deep. Nobody has ever told me after a service, that was deep, which basically means I don't understand the thing you said. So I take that as a compliment. But there's four prayers that we can pray. Number one, Jesus, help me to take you at your word. Because as long as we're being honest, isn't it hard to take him at his word sometimes? We read stuff like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we go, all things? I don't know about all. Anybody ever wrestle with taking God at his word? You know who really wrestled with taking God at his word? His closest followers, the disciples. The disciples didn't believe the most important thing he told them. And it wasn't just a group of 12. There's about 120 followers of Jesus. We just have 12 named, but there were like 120. And watch this. Watch this. In Mark chapter 1, this is where we see Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 16, I'm sorry, verse 1. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, she's from Italy, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Why did they purchase the burial spices? To anoint Jesus' body, right? Stay with me. Verse 2. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. Now, not a trick question. Why did they go to the tomb? To prepare his body So did they believe that Jesus had risen from the dead while they were on their way to the tomb? No. Here's what's crazy. Jesus told his closest followers at least five times. The reason I say at least five times is because five times is the number of times we have recorded in Scripture. He might have said it more, and they were like, we are not writing it down again. Because he said, listen, here's the deal. We're going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to put me on trial. They're going to crucify me. They're going to put me in the grave. And 3 days later, I'm coming back to life. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody tells me something once, usually I got it. If we have a conversation, if you tell me something five times, you're starting to insult my intelligence a little bit, because I feel like you think I'm stupid, which don't answer that, but that's what I want to say. So if somebody tells you something five times, are they serious about it? Yes or no? Yes. Jesus told them at least five times, I'm coming back to life. So, but they weren't going to the tomb to like tailgate, which that would be an incredible tailgate reason, like the tomb tailgate, right? You're waiting on Jesus to come out and the stone to roll away. They weren't going to the tomb to tailgate. They were going to the tomb. They were doing a good thing for the wrong reason. You ever done a good thing for a wrong reason? That's why I went to church. It was a good thing. Going to church is a good thing. Amen? But it was the wrong reason. I didn't go to church to get closer to Jesus, to envelop myself in the study of the Scriptures. Mm-mm. I had a buddy of mine tell me, hey man, there's hot girls in my church. I didn't go to church to get saved. I went to church to get laid. There's a t-shirt right there. Oh, you go to Second Chance, don't you? What he didn't tell me is the girls in that particular church, the Christian girls, were crazy. They were crazy. I was going to ask one girl out, and she ran from me. She literally ran. I never will forget. She ran. I saw her like 15 years later, and I was like, thank God she ran. Anyway, different story, different time. Don't worry. She's not watching. I'm just saying sometimes we can do the good thing, but it's the wrong reasons. But it doesn't matter what our motives is. The reason I want to bring that up is because I don't care why you showed up today. I don't care why you're sitting in this building. I don't care why you're sitting in Columbia. The fact that you showed up is a good thing. Even if you had to drag yourself in here, even if somebody had to drag you in here, it's a good thing. And even sometimes when our motives aren't right, Jesus goes, at least you're heading in the right direction, and he will meet us there and change us from who we are to who we need to be. I just want to be the guy. I just want us to be the people that we can take Jesus at his word. And if he said he was going to do something, or if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. But they didn't believe. Now, before I go on, let's pause for a second. I'm not being too hard on these people. How could they believe after what they just saw? They saw a man crucified. And somebody asked a few weeks ago in Q&A, why don't we have a cross in our church? And I thought it was a very fair question, because we're used to like crosses as religious icons. But do you know, to a first century Jewish person who saw somebody crucified, the cross, if they were to walk into our churches today and see crosses, they would be terrified. Because the cross wasn't a means of just killing people. It was a means of torture and killing people. And when you see a man that you followed for 3 years, who you believed was the Messiah, when you see him crucified, hang for 6 hours on a cross and die and be put in the ground, none of us would have believed the whole resurrection thing. All of us would have had a hard time taking him at his word. And how that ties into today is, there are people in this room, you've gone through some stuff recently. Some fear, some trauma, some worry, some doubt. And you're having a hard time believing because of what you've gone through. And if that's you, I get it. That's why we've got to learn how to pray. Jesus, help me take you at your word, because I'm having a real hard time right now. Now, watch what happens next. This is so funny. This is the next prayer. Jesus, help me to believe you are at work. Because sometimes it's easy to believe that Jesus is at work, isn't it? The other night, I took Karis out for dinner at Maki downtown. If y'all know anything about Maki, it's a little pricey, a little bit more than Chick-fil-A. We got ready to leave, and the server came up, and he said, I'm not allowed to tell you who, but somebody just took care of your meal. I was like, that is awesome. So I said, you can't tell me who? He said, no. So I got up, and I was like, and I just kind of did one of these right here. So if that was you, that's for you. Thank you so much. What's funny is I'll have 17 people come up to me after this service going, that was me, Pastor P. I took care of that meal. Liar. Anyway, so sometimes it's hard to believe that God is working. We can see him working in other people's lives, but not our lives, right? Watch this. When I saw this, I laughed and cried at the same time. Verse 3, on the way, they were asking each other, because you know women, when they're going somewhere, they're going to talk. Men, we can walk in silence because we don't have any words. But women, they got words, so they could talk. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Which is a legitimate question. Because the stone more than likely weighed around 4,000 pounds, 2 tons. I don't care how much woman power you got. 3 women are not going to roll a 4,000-pound stone away. So they were worried about an obstacle. Do you see it? Don't miss this. But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. Jesus had already taken care of the thing that they were worried about, because he had already been there. See, Jesus is outside of time and space, so that thing that we're worried about in the future, he's already been there. He's already rolled the stone aside. He's already taken care of it. He's already got things worked out. What if we just showed up and believed Jesus is at work? You know why we don't see Jesus work sometimes? I'm guilty. Because we don't expect it. And I said years ago, and it was so good, I knew it wasn't for me. It had to be from God. Where there is no expectation, there is seldom revelation. I have a friend that's in the music business. He's got this, I'm not gonna name drop, but he's got this little group. They do some singing, they do some touring. And they were in another country years ago, another country. And his group was coming off stage, and backstage, you know, the people gathering, artists and stuff. People were just standing around talking, and he wound up talking to this person. He said it was this lady, baseball hat, hair in a ponytail, no makeup, hoodie. She just looked comfortable. That's what he said. She just looked comfortable. He said we chatted about 30 minutes. She's asking all kind of questions about music and stuff. He gets in the car with the guy that was driving him around, and the driver looked at him and said, how awesome was that? My friend said, how awesome was what? And his driver went, dude, you just spoke to Carrie Underwood for 30 minutes. He said, no, I didn't. It's the girl in the hoodie with the baseball hat. And he said, that was Carrie Underwood, friend. And my buddy was like, if I would have known it was Carrie Underwood, the conversation could have gone, Carrie, first of all, did Jesus take the wheel? I need to know if he did or if he didn't. Second of all, that song you wrote about tearing up the guy's truck, that inspired too many women. There's a lot of torn up trucks. We probably need to tone that back a little bit, Carrie. But can you imagine having a conversation with Carrie Underwood and she's asking him questions about music? I would have been asking her. And I've laughed at him for years, but how many times are we guilty of being in the presence of God and not being aware of it? Because this should have been a hint. They should have shown up. You would think they would have shown up and been like, okay, stone. He did it. He did it. He did it. Get the drone out. We got to find him. He did it. You would think that they would be excited about the fact that the stone was rolled away. Here's the clue. Jesus is like, where's Waldo? Jesus is like, hello. Like, I am alive. I pulled this off, but no. They didn't believe. They didn't believe, once again, because of what they had gone through. It was so tragic and so tough, which leads to the third prayer, and we're going to spend a little time right here. Jesus, help me not to miss the obvious. Help me to not miss the obvious. I had a friend, I was talking to him and his fiance, they're getting ready to get married, and I love asking this question. So who pursued who? And it's usually the guy, but every once in a while, girls can do the pursuing in a sneaky way. You know what I'm talking about? So true story, this is back in the day, some of y'all gonna have to work with me here, when we had this calendar called a day timer. Y'all remember that? This is before phones. And he had a written calendar where he wrote everything out. And they had a Bible study. He went to Clemson, had a Bible study in his apartment. And the girl at the Bible study, they'd been friends for like a month and hanging out. She said, can I see your calendar? And he was like, yeah, I guess. So she got his calendar. She took a pen. And two nights later, on a Friday night, she went, take Jennifer out to dinner. And handed it back to him. And he was like, hey man, you think she wants to go out? I think it's worth a shot. They got married, by the way. They got married, but she made it obvious, right? Sometimes, for me, I don't know about you, sometimes God has to just make it obvious because I'll miss things. So watch this. God is trying to make it so obvious to these women, just like he's trying to make it so obvious to us. Watch this. When they entered the tomb, which Paul's right there, I've seen too many Stephen King movies. I'm not sure I'd have done that, but they hadn't seen Stephen King yet. They saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. Thank you, Captain Obvious Mark, for telling us that. Watch this. But the angel said, pause. The what said? No, let's do it again. The what said? The 1, 2, 3? Okay, now I would just like to think that maybe if I get up in the morning and go get in my truck and look in my passenger seat and there's an angel there, I'm going to be pretty wide open to whatever this angel wants to tell me. Would you agree? First of all, get your wing out of my face. I can't see because your wing's in my face. We all like to think that if we saw an angel, and there's always I did see an angel. Save your story for another time. When? I'll let you know. For our sunrise service next Easter. Are we having one? No, but it doesn't matter. Hold on to your angel story. I'm just saying, the angel said, when God sends an angel, is he trying to make something obvious, yes or no? Yes. The angel said, angel, by the way, means messenger from God. So anytime we open up the Bible and we read something, it's not as good. It's better than the angel telling us because this is the written revelation word of God. So the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. I love the fact that God will acknowledge the pain that we're going through. God will acknowledge the confusion that we're in. God's like, listen, I'm not mad at you because you're there. God's going, I understand where you are. I understand the suffering and the confusion, the thing that you're in the middle of. God goes, I get it. He was crucified. But watch this. He isn't here now. I want to pause because I like to point this out. And I want you to notice the exclamation point. So the angel is yelling. I'm going to pause real quick again. He's not yelling at the women, okay? He's not a godly angel. He isn't a godly angel, okay? He's not yelling at the women. He's yelling because he's excited. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now, would you need anything else? You show up. Stones roll away. Okay, something's a little different. You go in. Oh, there's an angel, and there's no body. And the angel goes, the reason there's no body is because Jesus rose from the dead. And you go, oh, he told us that on at least 5 occasions. Remember, he wouldn't shut up about it. So I guess he's alive. And then the angel tells him this. Now, this is what I love about Mark. Mark got all of his information from Peter. We think that Mark probably interviewed Peter and sat down. And the reason I think that's funny is because of what happens in the next verse. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Don't you love that? Peter's like, he mentioned me by name. Just put that in there, because John's going to write a gospel, and John's going to say he's the one that Jesus loved the most. So that I just put my name. Yes, thank you very much. Including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. Now, let's pause. Jesus told him 5 times, be crucified, rise from the dead on the 3rd day. And on the 3rd day, the women go to the tomb, and the stones rolled away. And they're like, huh, that's peculiar. And they go in, and there's an angel, and there's no body. And then the angel says, he's alive, and he's risen, and go tell everybody. And that's where we believe that the women went out and told everybody immediately, right? Wrong. They didn't. This is a verse that I've never heard this preached on. And I'm not mad at anybody. I've never preached on it because I've never really paid attention to it, because we just assume they left the tomb and they're like, party. And they're kind of throwing everything out there. But no. Watch what happened at first. Verse 8. The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Looks like they missed it, huh? You would think, after all that evidence, that they would have taken God at his word and believed that he was at work and told everybody, he's alive. But no, they didn't know how to handle this. And before we criticize them, we do the same things. How many times have we seen God be faithful over and over and over again, but we'll see a situation coming up in the next week or month and we'll freak out over it? I'm preaching to myself right now as much as I'm preaching to anybody in this room. And how would this work? Hey, ladies, you just need to fight to hold on to Jesus. Well, we tried that and we saw him murdered. Which is just a reminder. I'm going to put this in there. Just a reminder. Jesus is fighting for me. Now, if you're God, can you imagine? Probably didn't happen this way, but let's play, let's pretend. God and Jesus stand there, and God's watching this whole thing out, pan out, and he looked at Jesus and goes, man, you picked some real winners there, son. It's awesome. Love these people you have selected to follow you. They obviously took you at your word. I mean, can you imagine if you're Jesus dropping this many hints, how frustrating this could have been? But I want you to watch how full of grace and mercy Jesus, this is amazing. Verse 9. So it goes on. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene. Now remember, Mary Magdalene was among the 3 women. Her and the other Mary and the woman from Italy. Remember, they went to the tomb, right? So somehow they get separated, and Jesus goes, all right, well, I guess I'm going to have to just start showing up to people. And it wasn't just Mary Magdalene. Mark throws this in there so we can know this too. The woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. I'm going to throw this out there. That's a messed up woman. That's a messed up woman. 7. We know from other biblical accounts, she was probably a very immoral person. We not judging her, that's just what we know. But can you, like, I do believe in demonic oppression and demonic possession. I've seen stuff, like I said, I've seen stuff that caused me not to sleep for 2 or 3 days, okay? But can you imagine 7 demons? A woman with 7 demons? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I'm sitting right next to it right now. Don't point, husbands, straight ahead.
Nah, baby, you like 2 or 3. Yes.
But here's what I love. She was probably one of the most messed up people that followed Jesus. And that's who Jesus chose to reveal himself to first, one of the most messed up people in his group. Jesus loves messy people before and after the resurrection. Oh, here's another thing. If you've ever given your life to Christ and followed Jesus for a while, then kind of fallen away and think he's given up on you, that's what Mary did. Mary gave her life to Christ, followed him up until he was crucified. After she saw him crucified, she couldn't believe anymore, so she kind of drifted away. Old school people, we call it, she kind of backslid a little bit. And instead of pushing her out, Jesus shows up and becomes so real. Hey, here's a bonus prayer you can write down. It's not in the outline, but you can. Jesus, make yourself so real to me. Now that one should have a warning label. Jesus, make yourself so real to me. Because when he does, oh, he'll answer that one. Woo! Talk about cold chills. So here's Mary with 7 demons. He tells Mary, watch this. She went to the disciples. Now, these guys. Let's go ahead and throw out there. I don't think they were the manliest men on the planet. Here's why. Who were grieving and weeping. I understand crying, but it's been 3 days. I can't think of anything I would sit in a room and cry with a bunch of men for 3 days. I go cry by myself. I ain't crying in front of them. They probably had manis and petties and used deer cameras and all that kind of stuff. All the stuff that makes y'all mad that I pick on y'all about. So the disciples who were grieving and weeping, why are they grieving and weeping? Well, they didn't take Jesus at his word. And they thought Jesus was dead. They didn't believe that he was working anymore. And we can't blame them, because if we had seen what they saw, we would probably be doing the same things that they were doing. But here comes Mary, and she busts in the room, and she goes, guys, I have seen Jesus. We went to the tomb, and stone was empty. Our stones rolled away. Went to the tomb, it was empty. But the angel said, he's alive. And when we left, we freaked out, and I just went back to the garden by myself, and he showed up, and he's alive. And he told me to come here and tell y'all, and you, Peter, he told me to tell y'all that he is alive. And you would have think the disciples would have jumped up and said, heck yeah, let's go. Let's faithfully go and take the world, right? But no. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen them, they didn't believe her. In spite of all Jesus had said and all he had done and all the miracles they had seen, they didn't believe her. Now, if you're Jesus and you're watching this, because you know he's watching, are you frustrated a little bit? Guys, okay. He goes, let's go another route. Verse 12, afterward he appeared in a different form to 2 of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. Now, this story is actually found in the Gospel of Luke. It's the road to Emmaus. So there's 2 guys walking along, and Jesus comes up and starts walking with them. And then he's like, hey, what are y'all so sad about? And they said, haven't you heard about what happened to Jesus? And they're like, he said, no, I haven't heard. So they told Jesus about Jesus. It was an amazing conversation. It's fascinating. And so they have this conversation, and they get to the place, and they're getting ready to break bread. And when they broke bread, that's when they recognized it was Jesus. And a lot of scholars believe the reason they recognized it was Jesus, because when he was breaking the bread, they saw the nail prints in his hands, and they're like, oh. And then he just disappears, and they went, he did it! We got to tell the boys. So now you got Mary, who used to have seven demons, and they didn't listen to her because, you know, Mary's kind of crazy anyway, so we can't believe her. But then these two guys who have been telling Jesus about Jesus run back, and he appeared to them, and watch this. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. And if I'm Jesus, I'm like, forget you, forget you, forget you, forget you, forget you, forget you. Wouldn't you be that way? If you had promised all these things, if you had let all these people see all this work that you had done, wouldn't you be tempted to give up on them? Yes or no? Be honest. Hey, yes. But that's why I love the grace of God so much. He wants us to get it right. Way more than we want to get it right. Which leads to the fourth prayer. Jesus, help me to believe you have not given up on me. Now, I know this is the end of the outline, but I want you to lean in real quick before I press in on this point. When I was putting this message together and I wrote this particular prayer down, I feel that there are numerous people in this room. And you're here, but barely. And it has everything to do with you believing a lie. And the reason I know this so well is because I believed it for way too long. That you're too far gone, and Jesus has completely given up on you. And you could not be more wrong. Because of what we see in the scriptures, and because of the lives of the people in this room that would say, I'm so glad Jesus never gave up on me. Watch this. Watch this. This is beautiful. I love it. Love the Bible. Still later. How much later? We don't know. He appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. Now, we're told in another gospel, he just walked through the wall. He didn't even open the door, just walked through the wall. Now, if I'm eating, somebody walks through the wall, got my attention. Amen? Okay, well, oh, it's Jesus. Are you a little nervous if you're one of the disciples at this point? Absolutely. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief. Can you imagine what that sounded like? What would you have said? After all I did for y'all, I'll let y'all see me walk on. Peter, I'll let you walk on water. Remember that whole fish and chips thing? I gave every one of y'all a doggy bag. Y'all got food to take home. I blessed y'all. I was with you. I promised you. I was coming. How could you not? I am through with you. I'm through with you. I'm through with you. I'm through with you. He could have said that, and he would have been right. But he was fighting for them. Just like he's fighting for us. So the Bible says he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then this next verse, you would think it said, and he got rid of them and went and got some new people that were real and finally believed. But no, after the rebuke, the rebuke gets half of a verse. And then the Bible says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. The guys that didn't believe, the guys that didn't take him at his word, the guys that didn't believe he was at work anymore, the guys that didn't believe he could pull off the resurrection, Jesus said, you stop believing in me, but I never stopped believing in you. I chose you for a reason, and now I'm going to use you to change the world. And they did it. Like we talked about last week, they did it. And they've passed that mantle on to us. And we're supposed to still be doing it. Just like verse 20 says, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. God was at work among them. And listen, it's not because they fought so hard to hold on to Jesus. It's because Jesus fought so hard to hold on to them and hold on to us. So the reason we can bring a hard-fought hallelujah is not because we fought the good fight. It's because Jesus is fighting the good fight for us. So, Jesus, I just want to ask you right now, on behalf of every single person in this room, every single person in Columbia, every single person watching online, Jesus, God, that's going through something hard today. And maybe God walked in this place thinking that you have given up on us. But you're the God that never gives up. You're the God of second chances. You're the God who fights so hard for us. And we thank you today that our hard-fought hallelujah comes from the fact that your grace and your mercy always pursues us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray together with heads bowed and eyes closed in this room and in Columbia. And if you're not standing, you go ahead and stand with us. Maybe you're in this room today and you have just been going through it. That hard time, that difficult trial, that trauma, that worry, that fear. And it's overwhelmed you. Maybe today is the day that you just need somebody to pray for you. We're going to make it easy. I want to make it easy for you today. We do this from time to time here at Second Chance. We haven't done this in a while. But since we're all standing, if you need somebody to pray with you or pray for you, just take a seat right now. Just sit down. I need somebody to pray with me, Pastor P. Just need somebody to pray for me. Just sit down. Go ahead. This is easy. Y'all, it doesn't get any easier than this. Just sit down. Right where you are. Just sit down. Just have a seat. The reason I want you to do that is because I want you, by taking a seat, literally to say, I'm not trying to stand on my own two feet anymore. I'm trusting in a higher power. And if somebody is seated near you right now, just put your hand on their shoulder. You don't even have to know them. I don't care. Just put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them. Pray for them right now. This is called the body ministering to the body. This is the church taking care of the church. Just say a prayer. You don't even have to know their name. That's fine. Just pray that God will give them strength. That God will give them courage. That God would give them faith. That God would draw them to him. That God would make his presence in their life so real that they would be unable to deny him. And maybe you're in this room today and you've never prayed to receive Christ. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose from the grave. He died on a cross to pay for our sins. But he rose from the grave to show us the work was finished. He said it was finished, and then he proved it. And there's nothing greater on this side of eternity and the other side of eternity than knowing Jesus. He gives us abundant life here and eternal life there. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, listen to me, you're missing out. And today I want to give you the opportunity to ask Christ to come into your life right where you stand. If you're here today and you want to ask Jesus to come in your life and give him your life, then I'm going to invite you to pray with me. I'm going to lead you in this prayer, and I just want you to repeat it right where you stand. Here or in Columbia, I want you to say it out loud because I want you to hear yourself declare these words. And don't worry about feeling singled out because everybody in their Second Chance family, we say this prayer with you every single week. So you'll know you're supported by everybody in this room. So if you want to pray to receive Christ today, you pray this with me. Listen, he's fought hard for you. There's nothing better than giving your life to him. You pray this with me, Second Chance fam. Let's pray it with him. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner. And I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, with heads still bowed and eyes still closed, if you just prayed that prayer and asked Christ into your life, do me a favor right now and shoot your hand straight up in the air, because I want to see every single hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. This is amazing. Keep them up. All, right now in Columbia, put those hands straight up in the air. Put them up straight in the air. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus was not ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of him today. Put that hand up and let me. God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. You may put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus, that you're so faithful, that you're so good. Thank you, Jesus, today that you fight for us. God, you give us the strength to fight, to hold on to you. Everything that we have good in our lives, Jesus, is from your hands. So today we say hallelujah. Praise the Lord because of who you are, what you have done, and what you're going to do. You have been faithful. You will be faithful. You are good, and your promises are true. And everybody that agreed said amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Hope y'all have a phenomenal week. We'll see y'all back next Sunday.